distant from the person. Ve'ef shilaroisai ki in bestimu da'ainin. And the only way to be able to get to look at the tachlis is by closing your eyes. Meaning, shetzorech listoim esoinayim legamri. A person has to close his eyes completely. Ulasegram bechazoka ma'oid. And close them with tremendous force, tightly, to clench them super tightly. Af gam ledoichakom boho etzba, even to press them together with his fingers, as strong as his eye muscles can close them. Besides that, Rabbeinu says a person has to take his fingers and clench the eyes super tight together. For what purpose? Kedei lesaismam legamri, in order to close them completely. Va'oz yuchal lehistakel ala tachlis hazeh. And that's the only way that a person could be zeicha to get his mind way, way up into thinking about the tachlis 100%. Rabbi Nezal explains, what does this mean? How do we show this physically? Rabbi Nezal says, Hainu shetzorech listoim es'enov mechizui dehayalmo legamri. A person has to see to it to close his eyes from the vision of Olam Hazeh completely, from that which is to be seen in Olam Hazeh, the whole gashmius of Olam Hazeh, whether it be Taivas Noshim or Taivas Achilo or Taivas Shein or Taivas Momoim, or whatever Olam Hazeh has to offer, a person has to close his eyes from it. Livli lehistakel klal al Taivas Olam Hazeh v'avolo, and not to look at all at the Taivas of Olam Hazeh and all this silliness. And then, and only then, could a person be zeicha to see and to understand the Oyer HaTachlis, which is completely good. Then the Yisurim become botel. Why? The main Yisurim, the main human nature, that when a person suffers at all, even physically, he closes his eyes. When a person's in a dentist chair and he knows his teeth are going to be pulled out, what does he do? He closes his eyes. Why? Rabbi Nezal is explaining the side behind it here. Kedei livroyach mehayisurim, because the nefesh tries to escape the yisurim, ulevatlam, and to nullify them. How? Al yidei hahistaklus ala tachlis shekulei toiv, by looking into the tachlis. How could you get to think spiritually? Only by closing your eyes from the physical which is around you. Rabbi Nezal says, "Shahahistaklus hazois yefsher kiyim al yedei stima soyinayim kanal." This type of looking, to look into kedusha, to look into ruchnius, to look into tachlis, is only possible by closing your eyes from olam hazeh. Va'af sheho adam eni yedei klum mahu oiseh. And although the person himself, a zhlob who doesn't know anything about ruchnius, is sitting in a dentist chair, he closes his eyes, he doesn't know what he's doing. Afal pikein hanefesh yedas hakol. Still, the nefesh within him knows everything. The alkein, therefore, mutba'o, it is in within the teva of the person. This has been placed within human nature, listeim hoinayim b'shas ha'isurim, to close the eyes during the isurim. Why? To bring yourself to an elevation, to the tachlis, which is das, ki molar etz des Hashem, through which a person doesn't feel any pain or suffering anymore. He knows that any suffering that he's going through is for his good, either to remove his sins from him, or to remind him to do tshuva. So then the pain is easier to withstand. How? By closing your eyes. Why we should be zeicha with the zechus of all the tzadikim amitim shevelereinu, with the zechus of all the tzadikim amitim shechna v'resh ma'shevetzim, especially with the zechus of Rabbi Yisrael Abba, Rabbi Yehuda Zal, and Rabbi Nezal, and Rabbi Zal, to follow Rabbi Nezal's advice here throughout the whole Sefer, and to be zeicha to be real Breslov Hasid. Breslov in here. A lot of yiddies. The field of neshamos, there's a Baal HaSodeh, which is the Tzadik Emes, and Rabbi Nezal gave the entire analogy of maintaining a field to maintaining neshamos, knowing how far apart to keep the plants, how much hiskarvus and hisrachkus to show to each person. Then Rabbi Nezal went into the discussion about the topic of tefillah, Then Rabbi Nezal went into a discussion about the union of dibur. If the dibur is good, the tzaddik is able to tell through the dibur of each person how far he is from the tachlis. Rabbi Nezal explained that.
Pin Rav Enesla went into a whole detailed discussion on the concept of tefillah, the concept of being ma'achid tefillah, how a person says a letter, and that letter doesn't want to part from the person. The letter asks the person, how could you part from me? And yet the person has to go on to make a whole word, and to add on a word, to construct whole sentences, and yet he has this, Rav Enesla's main emphasis in bringing out this whole thing was, that what's a person supposed to do? His mission is to be mekasher, the seif and the tchila, the end and the beginning, to see to it that although he has to go on to build whole sentences and whole tefillahs, he should see to it not to forget the beginning, to always connect each item to the other, to make one out of the whole tefillah. And we mentioned that that's the inyan of oiver lifnei hateva, going back to the beginning of the word, constantly trying to be mekasher, the end with the beginning in tefillah. The next sif, Rav Enesla discusses the whole concept of how when it lovai, Hashem is going to be kulay echad, chesed and din are going to be one, the left is going to be nichlal in the right, everything is going to be kulay chesed. Rav Enesla said, which means that if a person could look at the tachlis throughout his entire life, then everything would be good. He'd never suffer. Rav Enesla says, how do you look at the tachlis? The tachlis is so far away. Rav Enesla said, just like physically, when a person wants to see something in a distance, he has to squint. To be able to look at the tachlis, which is millions of miles away, you're leaving this world, you have to squint even more, to the point where you have to clench your eyes shut completely and close them even with your fingers, press them there as tightly as you can, then you can hope to look at the tachlis. Rav Enesla said that's why there's a chiddush nifla within a human being's nature, that whenever he's about to undergo pain, the person's physical nature is to clench his eyes shut very tightly. Why? Because that's what allows him to end any pain, because he looks at the good in the item. That's what helps him, Bruchnius, look at the good in every item. So the Gashmius, the body conforms to the Ruchnius concept that's involved. This is where we had left off. And Rav Enesla referred to this concept as being mevatel oneself to the tachlis, to be mevatel himself to the tachlis. Now Rav Enesla says, V'hin ois teres samachei ois dalet. Rav Enesla says, "V'hine be'emes b'shas bitul kishenis batel al tachlis shehu kulei toiv kulei echad." At the time of bitul, when a person clenches his eyes like this and he tries to merge with Hashem kaviyachol, with the tachlis, which is kulei toiv kulei echad, azay be'emes nizvatel ha'yisur. Now, then the pain becomes batel to whatever degree, of course. Ach yev shaliyo is tamid kavua be'bchinas habitul. Rav Enesla says, however, it's impossible for a person to always be in this state of bitul. You would say, if this is so great, if this is the tachlis, then why shouldn't a breslov chassid, or one who wants to be a super good Jew, walk around, go be like this a whole day, sit with his eyes clenched tight? He'll be merging with the tachlis 24 hours a day. Rav Enesla says it's impossible to do that bikvius. Why? Ki im kein yetzei migeder enoishi. Because if a person tries to do that for too long, he'll leave the geder enoishi. He'll leave the human boundary, the alkein muchrach sheyia habitul bebechinas rotzi b'shayiv. Therefore, the only degree to which a person can undertake this avoid of bitul is in a concept of rotzi b'shayiv. Rotzi means going up, shayiv means returning. Meaning, it's got to be temporary going into this state of mind and then pulling out of it. Alkein, therefore, kishechayzer hasechel mehabitul el hamoyach. When the seichel, now let's explain this in terms of spheres. If you recall, Rav Enesla had a Torah before, Torah Chav Dalid. Rav Enesla discussed a concept in the Zohar Kodesh. I'm going to give this Hagdama, it's going to explain this, it's going to explain that Torah, and it's going to explain it based on the way we undertake this Avoid of Bittul, is in a concept of Rotzi V'Shoiv. Rotzi means going up, Shoiv means returning. Meaning, it's got to be temporary going into this state of mind, and then pulling out of it. Alkein, therefore, kishechayzer hasechel mehabitul el hamoyach. When the seichel, now let's explain this in terms of spheres. If you recall, Rav Enesla had a Torah before, Torah Chav Dalid. Rav Enesla discussed a concept in the Zohar Kodesh. I'm going to give this Hagdama, it's going to explain this, it's going to explain that Torah, and it's going to explain it based on the way Rav Nosson Zal explains it in Kotei Halachos. There is a place in the Zohar Kodesh where the Zohar Kodesh discusses one of the highest degrees of Kedusha. The Zohar Kodesh says that there are Tisha Heicholim, there are 9 Heicholim in heaven, which are super, super high Heicholim. They are referred to as Bechinas Moti V'loi Moti. They can be the biggest tzaddik can achieve them and not achieve them, meaning The only way a person gets those hecholim is for a second. He gets to touch it for a second and then jump back. So Rabbi Nizal gave an elaborate explanation as to how this works. Rabbi Nizal said that what's found within a person's brain, let's discuss the spheroids as chachma, bina, and das. The brain itself, the cerebrum, cerebellum, and medulla, physically, correspond beruchnis to chachma, bina, and das. These are gimel moichin. You have to picture this as three little men running around in a person's head. What are they running to get to? They're trying to push out. They're trying to reach out, kaviyochol, to the oyer ein sof of Hashem. What is blocking? What is the mechitza? Literally, the wording Rabbi Nizal uses is it's a mechitza, it's a geder, it's a fence that blocks the gimel moichin from reaching the oyer ein sof. You know what that fence is? Keser. That's the term keser that we use. Because where is a crown? Tzimtzum. Keser is a tzimtzum. It contains the gimel moichin, not allowing them to get to the Eir Ein Sof. The gimel moichin are yearning. They're in a state of constant yearning, wanting to reach out to go higher. The keser is blocking them. Rabbi Nizal says, what happens? These gimel moichin start pushing against this fence. They're running up. It's like men. You got a picture of charging into the fence, bouncing off, going back for a second charge. These three keep charging against the fence. And what happens is they become nichlal behakor. When you say in terms of Kabbalah, let's say yud kei vav kei behakor, hakor means squaring each letter. Yud, pa'amim yud, kei, pa'amim kei. That's called hakor. When these gimel moichin go at this wall, the hakor, they keep striking at each other, each one becomes nichlal from the others, which means it becomes 3 times 3. Each one becomes nichlal in all three. Like, let's say chachma becomes chachma bina das, bina becomes chachma bina, each one becomes 3. Benzal says this is the side of the tisha hecholin, which I discussed in the Zohar Kodesh. So you have this mechitza, the keser, and Rabbi Nizal refers to these two terms as the koyach of the redifa and ma'akev. Redifa means the process of the moichin chasing to get at the Eir Ein Sof, running after the Eir Ein Sof. The keser acts as a ma'akev to hold it back. And Rabbi Nizal says each person has to have this within himself. Each person has yearnings to come close to Hashem. These yearnings, he can burn out from it. Rabbi Nizal says therefore a person has to study Torah, just like you have in the body, the heart, which pumps constantly, it's heat, friction, hislavus, the ikar hislavus is in the heart, and you need an air-conditioned system to cool it off, or else the whole body would burn off. What's the air-conditioning system? The lungs. The lungs act as the air-conditioning system for the heart. Rabbi Nizal says, similarly, if a person would just have tefillah alone, this is what we were discussing on Shabbos, yeah. Tefillah alone is a heart, and that person, it's fire, but it's zero, it's garbage, it's not constructive. When a person has the lungs, what are the lungs? The Gemara says in Chulin, Hey Oini Islareya, the lungs have 5 branches. The lungs correspond to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that Tikkun Ezra says. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Torah acts as an air conditioning system. You have fire, you want to serve Hashem? Sit down and study Torah, you'll see how fast your fire gets. 13 mitzvahs and all their necessary compartments, period. Rabbi Nizal is discussing a similar concept here, Rabbi Nizal says. The beetle is an inyan of Oyer Ein Sof. The Seichel itself is an inyan of Gimel Moichin. Rabbi Nizal says now, Rabbi Nizal says, Halkein, Kishechizer HaSeichel, Mehabitul, El HaMoyach, when the Seichel of the Oyer Ein Sof. Now when his mind starts to return back to normal, into the brain, Shehu Kliya Seichel, the Moyach is the Keli of Seichel, Azai Efsher Lahamoichin Shehim Hakelim Lekabel Zeha Sechel Shel Bechinas Bitul. The Moyach, the brain, we said, is a vessel. It contains Sechel. This Sechel rose up for a period of 7 minutes. It rose up to merge into the Eir Ein Sof. Now it's trying to return back into the Keli where it originated from. The Keli isn't powerful enough to contain it anymore because it's coming back so much more wound up. So much more additional power that it got by going up into the Eir Ein Sof for a minute. Rabbi Nizal says, what happens? Azai Yevshel HaMoichin Shem HaKenel comes to Azai Shem HaKenel's Bitul, Ki Hu Bechinas Ein Sof. This Bitul is a concept of Ein Sof. Ein Sof cannot be brought within the Moichin. It can't be brought within Kalim. Shehu Bechinas HaTachlis, Shehu Kulei Echod, Kulei Toiv. This is all the meaning of the Keser. This is why the moyach again begins to feel the pain of the suffering. Why? Ki ikara hargosho shel kol hayisurim v'hakeivim chas v'shalom hu b'hamoyach. Which part of the body feels pain, senses pain? Not the hand, it's the brain. The nervous system is the part that senses pain. Ki me hamoyach yoitzin sinoi rois l'chol hayivorim kulam. From the brain reach out pipes, nerves, nerve endings that go to all the different avarim of the body. And this is why it's the brain, which is the CPU, which feels all the different pain that's going out, that all the different wires that reach out to the whole body are feeling. It all shoots back to the brain. The brain is the centralized location where all of this is being felt. Period. Excuse me? It's still a second level. In other words, whenever we talk about the heart, in other words, as being the melech bababa, it's these two combined. It's the mayach and the lev. These two always, it's chachma and bina, which again are all the gimel mayachim. That's the heart and the brain. In other words, here Rabbi Nizal is discussing, when we talk about the neshama, factually, where is the seat for the neshama? The brain, not the heart. And yet, Rabbi Nizal brings another place that where is all the elikus? In the heart, tsur levavi, Rabbi Nizal is showing. So in other words, obviously again, these two are used interchangeably at times. But from a biological standpoint, when you learn biology, where is everything felt? Not in the heart, in the brain, as Rabbi Nizal is presenting it in this Torah. So you have to know that it's not a contradiction at all. What we quoted that time from the Zohar Kodesh, from Elazar Gadol, saying that the heart is the one that feels all the pain, that's why Bnei Israel, the heart over there and the brain over here are similar concepts. You understand? You could either say that Bnei Yisrael are the lave of the whole island or the moyach of the whole island, even when it's the same thing. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Veda, and you should know, She'achar kach. So hold on, there seems to be a problem here. What did we accomplish in this whole process? A person started out being in pain. He clenched his eyes tightly. He tried to rise to a high madrega. His mechin reached out to the Eir Ein Sof. His seichel rose up to the Eir Ein Sof. It touched there. It couldn't stay there for too long, or else the person would leave Geder and Aishi. It tries to return back to the moyach. It can't. It's impossible, because to bring Ein Sof into the moyach is not possible. Rabbi Nizal says, so the person is back to his pain and suffering. What was accomplished? Rabbi Nizal says, Veda, and you should know, She'achar kach, kishechezer mehabitul el hakelim, when the person's sechel returns from this state of bitul back to the kelim, dahenu hamoichin, the brains. In other words, again, we're talking spiritual terms and physical terms at the same time. When the sechel, again, the moyach here is the cup, the sechel is the water in it, the water jumped out, reached out to there and said, it's returning. Now Rabbi Nizal says, when the water tries to return into the cup, which is the moyach, azay mezgabrin hayisurin biyoyser mimashal yukoidem. It's not that you're left as bad as you were before. The yisurim are mezgaber much more than they were originally. Kederech shnei anoshim shemesamkim venelchomim venezgabrim zekneketze. Like two people who are battling against one another. Shekishe echod roye shechaver mezgabrolov. When one sees that the other one is suddenly rising up, starting to win, azay hu mezchazik ma'oid. Suddenly he draws on his adrenaline, on all his full power. And he strengthens himself even more against him. Kemaykein, similarly, kisheroyin habaleidinim, when the baleidinim, which are klipois, in other words, this is all similar terms that are used, when they see shehu roitzel is gabra l'hayisurim ulavatlan, that this person is trying to fight off the yisurim through this procedure of bitul, he's trying to be mevatul yisurim, al yidei habitul el hatachas kanal, by rising to this madrega of keser. Remember, we mentioned many times kulhu b'machshava is bariru, that it's understood that the higher you go up into the spheres, that's where you bring a hamtoka full din. That's why, what do we see on Yom Kippur? Ki vayoyim hazeh yechaper Hashem alechem, lechaper eschem mikol chataysechem, lefnei Hashem titharu. Titaru is Bigimakriya Keser, showing that when you want to be Mamtik Dinim, the way to do it is to go all the way to the top. There you can draw a Hamtaka for all Dinim. That covers everything. So when the Dinim see now that this person tried to go into Ein Sof, which is Bechinas Keser, in order to try to be Mavatal them, they get angry and they are Mizgabra against him in double force. Azai he mischaskim zgabram yoyser. Val kein acha kach kisheshov miabitul. Azai hayisurim him gedolim yoyser mikoidim. Ki he mischaskim kenegdai machmasheroit zilavreich mihem. The canal. Period. This is the story. Now what? Rabbein Azal says, ach, achar kach, however, after that, what happened?
One question, the Moichan tried to go back in to the
Sechel tried to go back, tries to go back into the Moyach.
And then you said he was left with the Yisurim. One knows what happened.
Because the Sechel cannot go back into the Moyach.
Okay, so in other words, he didn't benefit at all, apparently, that, from what happened.
Exactly.
In other words, the Sechel went in its previous form. Not with the additional power that it came down.
No, you have Sechel
right.
Within a Moyach.
Okay.
The Moyach is Chochma bin Adas, ba ba ba. The Sechel jumped out for a second, merged with Keser. It couldn't stay there for too long, or else the person would go out of Gera Anoishi. It's on its way back. It's on its way back, having absorbed some Oyer Ein Soif. It cannot bring that back into the Moyach.
Okay.
No question
it
about
back
it.
In its original form.
Period.
Okay.
Which means that the person is back to his pain. Rabbein Azal said worse than that. The pain doubles because the klipos that watched this whole thing go on, they saw him trying to be misgaber, they were misgaber.
Okay.
Now the pain is double what it was before, and this whole cycle was done. Now what? Rabbein Azal continues explaining.
This person increasing his avodas Hashem.
It means anything, in other words, hispoidetus, any item where a person is nichlal in the oyerin soif. Hispoidetus is one of the best examples of that. Rabbein Azal brings another tarot from Taman that a person having hispoidetus literally merges with the shina kaviyochli, merges with the oyerin soif. Rabbein Azal has a tarot where he says, Misha reitz alitoim tam oyer hagonus. It's impossible to do it unless he has mishpoidetus. The only way is through hispoidetus. He just clearly spelled, he says it just like that, period. What is oyer hagonus? Kes, it's this similar concept. Kes, oyer ein soif. Okay. Rabbein Azal says now, ach, achar kach, mekilin hayisurim. Afterwards, the yisurim become lighter, u'misnachamim aleihem, and they become consoled, calmed down, al yidei hischatshus hatayra shezeichen al yidei hayisurim. Through the hischatshus hatayra, which a person achieves through the yisurim, that's what ends up calming down the yisurim. How, what, when, where, how? Rabbein Azal says, "Kal yidei hayisurim bo lebchinas bitul kanal." When a person starts feeling the pain so tough, he enters into this bechinas bitul. Va'achar kach af al pi sheshov mehabitul. Although the person does return from the bitul, af al pi kein, still mehorishimu shenishar mehabitul. From the imprint, from the impression that's left from this bitul. That's what gives the person the ability to be mechadesh in Torah. And he achieved the hasogo shekol hayisurin hein toivos gedoylo ismaoid. This brings the person into a tremendous state of simcha. That when a person merges, he clenches his eyes, he rises up to the soyer hein soif. What's the natural result? Oyer tzadikin yismach. It brings simcha. V'hasimcha hu keli el chidushin doyraisa. Rabbein Azal says simcha is a keli for chidushei Torah. When a person wants to receive chidushei Torah, the cup that he needs is simcha. How do we see this? K'may shomer Azal, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, b'shol shomer Yisrael na'aseh v'nishma. When Bnei Yisrael said the words na'aseh v'nishma, yordu samach ribui malochim. 600,000 malachim came down, v'nosnu shnei ksorim b'roish kol echod, and they placed two crowns on the head of each and every yid. U'kishechotu, and when the yidin committed the act of the egel, then the crowns were removed. The crowns were taken away. V'osid hakodesh baruch, just a second, which crown was taken away? The crown of Naaseh was taken away. Naaseh was taken away, Nishma remained. This is why you recall we mentioned that Rabbein Azal brings the Torah that now the Ikra Avoida is to come to the Tzadik Emes, to listen to his Chidushei Torah, because we see the Gemara says that the Naaseh was taken away, the Asiya is very weak. The only thing that we can hope to do nowadays is Nishma. Now we mentioned in Lag BaOmer that the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this is Meramis to the Koyach of the Tzadik Emes, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because Naaseh v'Nishma. Nasa was taken away. Venishma is the letters Shimon, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That remains the Kleach of the Seidus HaTorah, of the Limudim of the Tzadik Emes. that still remains after everything. Even that was able to withstand the Egel. The Egel was able to wipe out Nase, Nishmat couldn't wipe out.
Is that a man who says it?
Who says what?
That Nishmat man.
No, the Gemara says that. The Gemara said, Rabbi Nizal quotes it in the Torah of the Qumran. Rabbi Nizal has a Torah of the Qumran later where he says that a person has to see to it to come to the Tzaddik Emes to hear his Divrei Torah. Why? Because the Gemara says that originally he didn't have two Ksorim, Nasa and Nishma. One was Nasa was taken away. So what's left? That shows that the Ikar Avodah today is the union of Nishma. Listening to the words, listening to the Shurim, to the words of the Tzaddik Emes. This is a Torah of the Qumran.
So who says that Chiddush about the Nishma?
One of the Sifrei Kabbalah. Okay, now Rabbi Nizal says, the Gemara continues to say, that there'll come a time when Hashem will return the crowns that were taken away, the crowns of Naaseh. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'simchas oilam al roisham. That there'll come a time when the simchas oilam will be placed on their heads. We see that what is the crown referred to as the simcha salam, an Indian of simcha. Nimtza, shehasimcha hi bechinas nasa v'nishma. We see here that this Indian of nasa v'nishma is being referred to as simcha, because when we talk about the restoration of the crowns, we talk about the simcha salam al roshan. Shehu bechinas kabbalah satira. That's an Indian of kabbalah satira. When did they receive these? When was nasa v'nishma said by kabbalah satira? When they were standing on Har Sinai. When a person has this beetle and he comes back and there's an impression left, and with that impression he says to his chachus hatayra, it's the hischachus hatayra that acts as an air conditioning system to cool off the isurim. Because it's chidusha, it's Torah specifically that has the power to cool off the thirst of the neshama, the fiery thirst of the neshama. Ki hargoshas hayisurin hu bechinas tzimoin. This feeling of pain of yisurin, where do we see them? To cool off the yisurin. Ki al yidei ze mechabin tzimoin hanefesh. Because it's chidusha, it's Torah specifically that has the power to cool off the thirst of the neshama, the fiery thirst of the neshama. Ki hargoshas hayisurin hu bechinas tzimoin. This feeling of pain of yisurin is a concept of thirst. Hu bechinas tzimoin hanefesh. It's a concept of thirst of the nefesh. Where do we see it? How do you associate these two? Says ki tzimoin hu al yedei malichus. Thirst comes from saltiness. Saltiness brings thirst. Says ki tzimoin hu al yedei malichus. Thirst comes from saltiness. Umalichus hu bechinas yisurin. Salt is an inyan of yisurin, suffering. K'may sham razal. Watch how this fits together. The Gemara says in Brachos that the word bris is written by different items. Nemar bris b'melach. The word bris is written by salt. Bris melach olam. V'nemar bris b'yisurin. The Gemara there brings a pasuk where the word bris is written by the inyan of yisurin. So the Gemara says that from there we learn out that just like salt draws out the bad blood from a piece of meat, yisurin has the power to purify a person's body. It draws out the averos and it purifies them completely. So we see that salt and yisurin go together. Salt is synonymous with thirst. Salt. So we see that thirst and yisurin go together. Ki hanefesh hi bas hasechel. Rabbi Nizal says the nefesh is the bas hasechel. Ki ikar gidul hanefesh hu al yedei hasechel shemegadlo mesakno. What helps the person's neshama develop? The more seichel a person acquires, the more a person studies Torah, that's what develops the nefesh. Just like the body, the more you eat, the more vitamins and nutrients you take in, the body develops. The more Torah, the more seichel a person takes in, that's what causes gidul hanefesh. Note, Rabbi Nizal here is using the word, sometimes Rabbi Nizal uses the word nefesh with reference to the body. Sometimes Rabbi Nizal uses the word nefesh as neshama. You have to simply know what context is being said in. U'kamay shekosav, as the pasuk says, gam beloy das nefesh loy toiv. Without the das, the nefesh is no good, which means that the whole inyan of the nefesh is das. The whole chiyas of the nefesh is das. וכשהס שכל בשלימוס, when a person's שכל is בשלימוס, אזי הוא עושה פירוס, then the שכל can bear fruit. אבל כשנפגם השכל, but when the שכל is פוגום, אזי הוא בחינס ארץ פרי למלאכו, then that person's brain becomes like a dry, a salty desert. A salty desert ground can't produce fruit. והמליחוס הוא בחינס היסורין שמרגישנו על ידי שנעשיך ובשלימוס כנאו. What is this saltiness? We said that pain was synonymous with saltiness. When a person feels pain, how? Because his das is not bishleimus. Because we said before that when the das is bishleimus, when the das reaches out tritachlis, there is no pain. So when a person's das is not bishleimus and he is feeling pain, then he's not capable of producing peiros. Then the nefesh is in a state of thirst. Through the hischatshus hatera, that's what acts to cool off the yisurin and to wipe out the thirst. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, hoy kol tzomei lechul amayim. You who are thirsty, go to water. What is water? Teira. Vze bechinas, as the pasuk says, Ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu ko. Ashrei is that person whom Hashem gives him pain, inflicts pain upon him. Umitoyroscha tilamdenu. When is he Ashrei? When nothing's good from him? When he's zeichet to be mamshich toyrei afterwards. If he completes this whole process, this whole cycle that we discussed, he completes it with umitoyroscha tilamdenu, with a hischatshus in toyra, that's when the yisurin were to his advantage. K'al yidei ha-yisurin zoichel ha-yischatshus ha-toyra kanal. וזה סימן שפועל על ידי היסורים וקיבלם קרוי. If a person ever wants to know whether he accomplished through his יסורים, whether he accepted them the right way, the best way to be able to tell is כשזכה אחר כך לחידושין דרייסא. If he finds that after this, after the יסורים, he זכה לחידושין דרייסא, שזה סימן, that's a סימן, שזוכו לבחינס ביטול אל התכלס על ידי היסורים, that the יסורים helped him to rise up to this madrega of ביטול to the תכלס, ועל ידי זה זוכו לחידושין דרייסו על ידי הרשימו כנאו. And that's what helped him בזניך את הרדושין דרייסו, through this רשימו. Okay, now, one of the best examples that Rav Nosson Zalman Chaim has gives of this whole procedure is, what mitzvah is there that we were taught by Rabbi Zal 49,000 times is called the crown of the king? Sure. The tefillin. The Arizal says in the Pri Eitz Chaim that what is the side of tefillin? When a person puts on the tefillin, he draws upon himself meichin. He's mevatel to a degree, he enters into the keser. Melech osur borahotim, borahite meichin. He attaches these straps, he rises up to the madrega of keser. And when he says kriya shma, the Arizal says specifically what point in the tefillah is it that the meichin go back into the brain? When he says Kriya Shema, why? Because which part of the tefillah is the ikar part which is Da'iraisa, actual Divrei Torah? The Shema is the only part, section of the tefillah that's Torah Shedechsav. You're actually saying a pasuk in Chumash. That's when this, that's this Bechina of Hischatshus HaTorah, whereby the Melchan enter in. This is why, what do we do at Kriya Shema? Being enacted.
So the end of Shema is the returning of the Meichen. The beginning was the Fitul Alatach.
Exactly.
What about the Kutaonis?
When a person says Kriya Shema, he's actually doing this whole item. Why? What's the most important item? If a person says, the Gemara says, if a person says Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, it's as though he was made Eda Sheker. So we see that Kriya Shema and tefillin go together. Why? The Arizal explains that when a person says Kriya Shema, that's when this whole Torah, like the Gemara, is going into action. How? When a person starts the Kriya Shema, he puts his hands over his eyes. That's this concept of Beetle to the Tachlis. He's closing his eyes, it's only in a Beetle to the insight that we mentioned before. What happens? He touches the Eir insight for a second. At that moment, what happens? The Meichen go up for a second, they try to return, the person draws upon himself. The Arizal says, at what point in the day does a person draw upon himself the Meichen for that day? But after Kriya Shema, why? Because Kriya Shema is this Hischatshus HaTorah. When, within the whole tefillah, do we say a section of the Chumash, Torah Shedechsav, Kriyashma. That's Hidaka Kriyashma. That's when a person draws upon himself his smoichen. That's when a person can achieve... Exactly. His new smoichen for the whole day. That's when a person could achieve this whole inyan that we said here.
Just for a set.
Exactly.
The
Krishna close? Huh? No, the Krishna efforts. He's building up higher and higher and higher till the back of Krishna, that's the point in time when this whole thing gets enacted.
How much do you think of the Kiddushu over here, the last part? Then you come out,
right. Now Rabbeinu Zal says a different thing. In other words, this can be interpreted, this can be applied to many different things. Rav Moshe Zal, but the Aloha shows the different... That's one example. We went through a whole cycle. Now you have another item. You have a tzaddik emes, like Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal went through tremendous yisurim. What was the purpose? What was one of the main purposes of his yisurim? There's a statement in Chaim Aram where Rabbeinu Zal said to his Talmidim, right, look at coincidence. I was looking for items to say on Shabbos. This is one of the items that I had wanted to mention this Shabbos, but it didn't fit in at all. Now it fits in. There's a paragraph, a major paragraph in Chaim Aram, where Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim once asked him straight out, Rabbi, why don't you do anything about all this machlokes? In other words, we know that you have the brains. It's a question of brains. You would figure if a person is smart enough, he can outwit people. Let's say this guy hates me. If I'm smart enough, I can outwit him to get him to like me. No matter what friction there is between us, I can talk my way out of it. I can swing him over to my side. They asked Rabbeinu Zal, why don't you do this? We can't take, it's getting to a point we can't take it anymore. Rabbeinu Zal answered, Moshe Rabbeinu was surely the moyach of the entire Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the smartest person alive during his time, for all time. You would surely admit that Moshe Rabbeinu could have had the brains in his generation to see to it, to talk his way into everybody's hearts. They should all like him. Why is it that the Torah tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu stood up and he walked by, people used to whisper among themselves, oh, is he talking to your wife a lot too? Each one would say that he's being mizana with their wives. Their wives would come to him to talk to him about Eitzes, this, that. They would talk behind Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the wording, that's the item that Rabbeinu Zal quotes in that sentence in Chaim Aram. So Rabbeinu Zal said, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do anything about this? Rabbeinu Zal answered, because there are certain hecholim in Shamayim. There are certain rooms in heaven where it's impossible to enter into those rooms without machlokes, period. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself machlokes. Therefore, I'm taking upon myself machlokes, because without that, there's no way for me to enter into those rooms, period. That's what I need it for. Now, the question is, how do you understand this a little bit more in physical terms? What is machlokes? This Rav Moshe Zal talks about in the Halachos. What is machlokes? What happens when a tzaddik undergoes machlokes? People are... What happens when, let's talk in real physical terms, Rav Moshe Zal explains it. What happens, you picture somebody like Rabbeinu Zal. It was machlokes, people were insulting him, people, Moshe Rabbeinu, all this was going on. No matter who it is, look at Rabbi Zal. When Rabbi Zal had machlokes in his Talmidim or whatever, it's not a question, he knew that this was all for his benefit, he knew that it had, but while you're going through it, you suffer, it kills you, it presses down on you, it's super yisurim, no question about it. What happens when a tzaddik undergoes these yisurim? Rabbeinu Zal says in the Talmud Gedoron that it says that when Paroi was chasing Bnei Yisrael, at one point it says that Paroi was getting close to them. So it says, Uparoi hikriv, Paroi got close to them, and they started to scream to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says in the Talmud Gedoron, it should have said Uparoi korav. Korav means was getting close. Hikriv means made become close. Rabbeinu Zal says, what does this mean? That Paroi made the Jews become close to Hashem. By his chasing after them, Paroi began to chase them. He got them into a corner. They had no place to run to. They had nowhere else to run to. Who did they have to run to? They had to scream to Hashem. When a tzaddik begins to undergo these yisurim, he's being pressed into a corner. He has no place to move. What does he do? He clenches his eyes. He speaks to Hashem. He's mevatel. He goes into his bedidus. He cries his heart out to Hashem. And because it's with so much pain and suffering pressing on him, it brings him closer to Hashem. It brings him to this state of bitul, where he's mevatel himself to the Eirin Saif. And he reaches that for a minute or two. What comes out of it? when the tzaddik comes out, when Rabbeinu Zal, or Moshe Rabbeinu came out of that state, coming out of that state, the moichin try to return with this oyer, they can't, because the seichel tries to return with this oyer, it can't. What happens is that it returns regular. What's the net benefit of this whole cycle? That the tzaddik is given his chachus in Torah, meaning, in literal terms, he's given entrance, while he was in a state of bitul, he was given entrance to certain heichalim up there that he couldn't get into without these yisurim, without this yisurim of machlekes. That's number one. Which means, in his own learning, he's given permission to go much further than he ever could before. That's number one. Number two, he's given permission to be able to be megalis, seydus hatera, to the world. Every time Rabbeinu Zal, the Arizal, was megalis certain seydus, he had to suffer for it. He had to go through kids dying. Rabbeinu Zal said to Talmidim, why is my family going through all this yisurim? Because I want to be megala chidush etera to you, that like this etzais that were never revealed to the world. That's why I have to go through these yisurim, because it's a space cycle. The yisurim squeeze the tzaddik where he has no way to go other than upward. There's no way for him to get into these certain hecholim unless he's pressed into there. How does he get pressed? With yisurim.
So for regular persons, the Torah helps just the mind can get back into a brain, but tzaddik, it helps him back.
The answer is that even for a regular person, let's take this on our super low level, a person goes through different types of yisurim. Parnos, a job, he feels he hates it, he wants to learn. In other words, he feels that yisurim. Yisurim from parents, yisurim from children, whatever it is, all of those different types of yisurim. What does the person do if he's a breastlover? At night, he sits down, he tries to speak to Hashem. At first, he thinks for a few minutes about everything that's going on, how much it's hurting him, that he doesn't have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, that he's not learning the way he wants to be learning, he doesn't feel close to his Rebbe the way he would want to be, and this leads him to a crying, to a beat, it leads him to a seclusion with Hashem, where he feels himself, in other words, he closes his eyes, even without closing himself in a room and closing the door with his eyes open, is again an Indian of bitul er ein soif. He's closing himself off from the world and he's speaking to Hashem. That's the Indian of being mevatel himself to the er ein soif. When he comes out of that room, what will he usually find as a result? Chashus HaTorah, meaning he'll feel a new desire to learn. When he'll learn, it'll open up more to him than ever did before. Or he'll receive his karvus to his Rebbe more. His Rebbe will actually be megala to him more than before. This takes place on every different level imaginable. That's why I said this Torah in Likutei Moharan could be applied to millions of things, but most of all, Likutei Halachos gives a few samples of items. Likutei Halachos isn't a sefer that's finished. It's hagdamas. He's showing you, let me prove to you how far a Torah in Likutei Moharan can go. I'll give you 2-3 examples, and the rest you can figure, you can imagine on your own how this could be applied to everything, to millions of things. Right, right. Rabbeinu, one of the examples of a set of halachas, and Likutei Halachos, Rabbeinu Zal applies this Torah when a person goes to sleep at night. That's a new bitul to the ein soif. If he closes his eyes, his neshama goes up. It's the same things we're talking about here. What happens then? We said that the klipa is sivit, he's trying to mevatel himself. What's the purpose of going to sleep? His chachus and emuna. It's in other words, this isn't a joke, it's not a physical item, it's a spiritual aliyah. When a frum person goes to sleep, that's an aliyah. He's actually trying to be mevatel himself to Hashem. What happens? The klipa is see him doing that, they're misgaver. Therefore, there's a whole special mitzvah. We said that what do you have to be misgaber with? Mayim. That how do you cool it off? You need mayim. Rabbeinu Zal says this is the whole side of why when a person gets up in the morning, he has to wash his hands. Why? Because in this process of bitul ein soif, the klipa is on his gaber, it requires a whole new washing with water to remove the klipas before you can start Torah. You're not allowed to study, the wording in Shulchan Aruch is you're not allowed to study Torah until you wash your hands. The washing, in other words, you see how this Torah could be used as a pirush on the whole Shulchan Aruch, on the whole Jewish religion. It's all contained within each and every individual Torah.
Because the word itself represents Torah also.
100%. 100%. 100%.
This is what Rabbi Zal said times back. A person knows if Yisurim are good, if Yisurim keep a person from doing mitzvahs and learning, he knows that they're no good Yisurim. Yisurim lead to
the Gemara says in Brachos, Yisurim shel Avot means if there's no bittul Torah,
right,
or bittul Tefillah. Both the Gemara brings down.
That's what Rabbi Zal said, that a person can't bring the other into Kalim.
Right.
And therefore, so what's the point? Does Rabbi Zal say anyone? that you don't expect to bring the oil, you just want to bring a Rishuna?
That's the result of this Torah. In other words, he started out by saying, hey, it seems like he did nothing. The answer is, you know what you got? The Rishimu. And that Rishimu, in other words, granted that factually the oil itself must evaporate. There's no way you can hold on to that. In other words, the Seichel rose up, it merged with the Aaron Seif, it tries to bring it down. That's an impossibility. So the Aaron Seif is forced to leave. So to you, at first glance, it looks like you were left with nothing. Not true. You were left with a Rishimu. There is a footprint left. When this Sefer returns into the Mayach, there is an imprint left in that Ein Sof. What does that imprint result in? His Chachas HaTorah. That's literally what's going on here. If you'll follow this paragraph through, you'll see that that's what he was explaining.
They can't use it to sort of kill
toe. It's understood. You turn up the volume on anything here too much, it can destroy. You try to stay in the Ein Sof for too long, it can destroy. You try to go to do it too often, it can destroy. This is why Rabbi Elazar said, despite this, Leif Nishbor is only good for 1 hour a day. You try to do it too much, it's an inyan of bitul to the Ein Sof. It could cause you to go out of Geder Anoshi, it could cause you to destroy yourself, Chas V'Shalom. Machlokes is also too much is no good.
As Tanya Rabbeinu Zal said, it's telling him to stop and stand the road and
to fight against it. Exactly. In other words, you have cases where anything gets out of balance, a drop, and it's chod. They attacked him. The chachamim, he cried. One tear, a third of the world was destroyed. That's the word in the Gemara. Why? Because it was too much. The Yisurin was too much. It went a drop overboard, can wipe out worlds. Okay. And remember that this Torah is being said when Rabbi Elazar lost his son, when his son Shlomo Ephraim Zal passed away. By the way, I saw something interesting. Just for those who know what we're talking about, there's a Torah later on in the Kutimaran where Rabbi Elazar discusses that at Tzadik Emes, the main function of every Yid is to leave behind a Bechinas Ben and Talmud, a son and a Talmud. In other words, every Jew has a requirement, a physical requirement in the Torah, to get married, to produce children. That's number one. And every Jew has a spiritual requirement, Veshinantam Levanecha, to teach Talmidim. Now, Rav Nachman Shigerinzal says in that Torah that it's understood that if you get a Ben who is also a Talmud, that's like the highest level of Kedusha. And this, he quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu tried very, very hard to be Zeche. In other words, when we see this, that example, for example, in Breslov, if it's not like other Hasidus, where after Rabbeinu Zal, it's not his son who took over, Rav Moshe Zal, but Nachman Shirin Zal does point out that the truth is, the best is if the son can be the one to take over. If the son is the best Talmud, and he quotes a Medrash which says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal very hard to be zeicha that his sons should take over after him. Why? Did he want to be like the Shmacha Mancha Rebbe, you know, where this is the way it looked, Chas V'Shalom? Because he knew that when Ben and Talmud are Nichlal in one, when the Ben is the best Talmud, that's the highest Madrigal of Kiddushit Pas. In other words, that's the best morning that you can have. And this is why this is all the Kavana that Rabbi Nizal had in mind in his son, Reb Shlomo Ephraim Zal. He could have been this Ben and Talmud, Moshiach ben Yosef, Moshiach ben David, Michal in one. And Rabbi, when he passed away, that's when Rabbi Nizal cried so much and everything. And that's when this Torah was set on a Pirushal that it was going on at that time.
Could Ben be grandson too? In case we're nothing to grandson.
Possibly, I don't know. But in other words, the term that when he discusses it there, he discusses that Ben, and he brings the example of Moshe Rabbeinu who tried and did not succeed. He failed. His sons did not take over after him. It was Yeshua who took over after him. And Rabbeinu Zal, you see also, Rabbeinu Zal wanted very much for that child to live. He warned his Talmidim, you're responsible to daven. Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim bring a remez. That's why his son is called Shlomo Ephraim Zal. Shlomo was the son of David HaMelech, Bechinas Moshiach ben David. Ephraim was the son of Yosef. Shlomo Ephraim showed that his neshama had the klolius of Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David, all wrapped in one. That's who it could have been. Okay, we'll hold off over here. How many do we have?
Nine.
Call Jack. Call Jack, see if it's on the
3:32.
In other words, by this discussion about Kriya Shema, about Netil Sidon, that's where you first be. Why didn't I think of that light? Why? And Rav Nosson Zal was the one who rose to such a high madrega to be able to understand, to merge with Rabbeinu Zal so well, where he knew how to take Rabbeinu Zal's limudim and apply it to the rest of it. Use it as a pirush on all time. You know, that's the unbelievable.
He said over here he could have actually been Mashiach or Bechinos and Mashiach.
Probably both. In other words, it's written.
Huh? Yeah, try to get the guy, of course.
It's written in but not Stamus. It's written in the Parpo Eschach and other places that he could have been, you know, period. It's brought, there's a story brought about Rabbeinu Zal. One of the Baal Shem Tovs, this story I heard from Rabbi Yechaim, I heard it from Rabbi Zal, and I saw it written in Klech Vayor. There's a story brought that there was a person who was Mekurav to the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov told him, I'm giving you a present, I like you very much. You're not going to die without having seen Moshiach. Period. This is what Baal Shem Tov told him. This person once came into Rabbeinu Zal's shul and told Rabbeinu Zal, you know, I'm getting old. I see that I'm getting quite old. And I was told by the Baal Shem Tov that I won't die without seeing Moshiach. And what happened? I don't know. What's the story? Rabbeinu Zal smiled. This is the story that's written. This man walked out of the house and he told people that he knows that the haftacha that he got was mekuyam. He said, when Rabbeinu Zal smiled, he felt that this whole, the guarantee was given, it was completed. Uh-huh. He had set eyes on the shul. In other words, how do we understand all of this? This is ruchnius. It can transfer, it can travel from one to another. It's understood that bro kara davor, Rabbeinu Zal, a son is an extension of the father. Rabbeinu Zal's son would have been Rabbeinu Zal's heir, brought down into another tzimtzum. You know, exactly how this works, we don't have to know. But it's obvious that all of this goes together.
When you mentioned once before or something, you mentioned that probably at that moment the neshama of Mashiach went into Rabbeinu Zal. In other words,
the answer is, as far as I'm concerned, Rabbeinu Zal could have been Mashiach for 24 hours a day, period. Rabbeinu Zal said verbatim that the difference between me and Mashiach is there is no difference. The only difference is by him they won't be Bechira. In other words, what are you going to tell me is a difference?